This is 89.1 WEMU, and welcome to Washtenaw United. I'm David Fair, and each Monday, through our partnership with the United Way of Washtenaw County, we explore issues of equity and opportunity in our community. Today marks the final day of the United Way's 21-day equity challenge. Over the past 3 weeks, residents, business leaders, organizations, and institutions have been utilizing provided resources to explore personal and community views on race and how it impacts those around us. As the Equity Challenge wraps up, we thought it would be really interesting to check in with a few of the people who've been participating. As such, we have three guests with us today. Erin Suganuma is Executive Director of Brighter Way, which is a mentoring and social support program for men and women returning to Washtenaw County after incarceration. And thank you so much for being here, Erin.
Thank you.
Jessica A.S. Letaw is Executive Director of Building Matters in Ann Arbor, which works to create a more diverse, equitable, and sustainable city through exploration, education, and advocacy. Welcome to WEMU, Jessica.
Thank you very much.
And Capri Irvin is Enrollment Coordinator for Big Brothers Big Sisters. Capri, glad to have you here today.
Yes, hi.
The 21-Day Equity Challenge was designed to get participating people to further understand power, privilege, oppression, and equity through a variety of mediums. There were daily readings, there were videos available, podcasts as well, all offered up to provoke thought and self-reflection. Erin, how did you choose to participate through the challenge?
You know, one of the things that really struck me about this is the social media interactions that I had. You know, seeing all the different people posting about it, whether it was housing, whether it was ACEs, whether it was simply being reflective on personal identity, and seeing some of the dialogues that, as a result, was really interesting just to see the different ways that people engaged in it and defined themselves and related to the subject matter.
And Capri, how did you engage?
I made sure that it was a priority part of my day. I first started in the morning when the first thing I got to work, check my email, make sure that I'm really prioritizing this challenge because it was important for me. As a person that's been working in the area for about 5 years and especially working with the young people, I really want to be able to understand what are all the dynamics in Washtenaw County. And even though I've been here for 5 years, I'm still continue to learn more and more and more. So it was really, really great and beneficial for me.
And Jessica, how did you spend your time through the 21-day challenge?
Well, like Capri, I made sure to get into that email first thing in the morning, and then I would spend the day meditating on it. Mm. And then I decided the very first day, actually, to turn this into an opportunity to talk really publicly about what it means to go through this challenge as a white person. Mm. So on Facebook and Instagram, I did kind of mini blogs. I would summarize the challenge for the day and then have my own, you know, personal response to it, framing it really squarely in whiteness, exploring kind of that construct, which I think a lot of white people are afraid to do in public. And so that's how I engaged.
Much of the interaction was done online or through electronic communication, correct? Everybody agree on that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's a much different thing to have a conversation about race, about power, about privilege, when you're looking at one another in the face. Through the course of your day, did you have these conversations with people that look different than you, Jessica?
Absolutely. At Building Matters Ann Arbor, we forefront an anti-racist culture, and so these conversations are actually pretty common to us. The thing that has been helpful from United Way has been to have so much data pertaining to Washtenaw County, so we can get really in the weeds about what the wealth inequity looks like, about what's going on in education, rather than just kind of guessing and extrapolating from the national level.
And Erin, did you take that conversation out into the public as well?
You know, not as intentionally as I might have, but I had a conversation just last week with a person who was talking about race and the way that he experiences it in Ann Arbor and on the University of Michigan campus, and just talking about how different he feels as an African-American walking down the street and almost feeling like he needs to acknowledge other people and say, like, you know, this is not normal. So there's something going on here that is not normal.
And I want to point out that we are all somewhat different in the studio today as we have these conversations about race and equity and inequities and opportunities and lack of opportunities. Andrew is of Asian descent. As Jessica mentioned, she is white. And Capri is black. And Capri, he just mentioned walking down the street just feels different when you are black. Mm-hmm. Do you have that experience too?
Yeah, I do. What I always like to point out to me is there are two Ann Arbors that exist in my mind. There's Ann Arbor, the University of Michigan, and then there's the city of Ann Arbor. So for me, having navigating both of those worlds as an alumni University of Michigan, to be in regular Ann Arbor feels very different than to be at the University of Michigan. Not to say that my identity means less in Ann Arbor, but the University of Michigan, because there's so few of us, it feels... You always feel like people are looking at you in so many ways. Versus in Ann Arbor, you know, when I'm walking on down Washtenaw Avenue or at Bigelow, it feels very normal. I feel like people are a lot more welcoming and understanding and a lot more conscious in some sense than at the University of Michigan. Not to say that they aren't, not to say they aren't making progress, but in my experience when I was there, it just feels different when you talk about the culture between the professors versus your peers and how to navigate both of those worlds, and then really being able to get out of that bubble and really explore what it means to be in Washtenaw County and the Ann Arbors and the Ypsilanti.
And as being a person of Asian descent, Aaron, do you have some of the similar experiences that Capri is describing?
Well, you know, my story is a little bit interesting. I'm half Asian, for those who can't see me. And, you know, that has been an interesting dynamic in my own development growing up. You know, a lot of Asian cultures, like a lot of maybe conservative aspects of some cultures, if you're not 100% of something, then you don't necessarily fit in or you don't necessarily identify. And that's been one of the things that I've struggled with, especially since moving to Michigan, where there tends to be a binary in this area between black and white as opposed to Asian or maybe Latinx or whatnot. So it's just been interesting. I don't ever feel like I fit in racially anywhere.
And Jessica, that is something you and I have never had to experience, never even had to take into consideration. How valuable has it been to go through this process and understand that we need to change our perceptions and start taking into consideration that...
Before I answer your question, David, I'd actually like to circle back to Capri's comment. I love what you said about there being two Ann Arbors. On our board is a woman named Carol Gibson, who's written a book called Another Ann Arbor, which refers specifically to African-Americans in Ann Arbor and Ypsilanti.
Yeah.
It is a lovely history, and I encourage you and anybody to check out the book, and she still is operating a Facebook page about it as well. So, David, when you're asking... you know, the fact that we don't feel othered, what that means is that in our community, Washtenaw County, Southeast Michigan, the United States, we take whiteness as the default identity, right? Like, we don't have to think about whiteness because whiteness is the thing that you are unless you're not.
And right there is the foundation of privilege.
You're not white. Right, exactly. So I think what we as white people need to start doing is understanding that it's not a default, right? It is a race. It is an identity. It is a culture. And just because we don't have the language for it doesn't mean it's not there. So I think really that's what we need to start acknowledging.
Washtenaw United continues on 89.1 WEMU as we explore how different members of our community have been processing information and taking reflection in the United Way's 21-Day Equity Challenge. We're talking with three community leaders and participants, Capri Irvin, the enrollment coordinator for Big Brothers and Big Sisters, Jessica A.S. Leetaw, heads up Building Matters in Ann Arbor and is deputy director of the DDA, and Aaron Suganuma is executive director of Brighter Way. And I want to get a little more personal. Jessica, did you learn something about your own personal implicit biases through the personal perspectives of the challenge?
I will say, again, being at Building Matters Ann Arbor, where we forefront anti-racist work, and being very lucky to be a part of the New Centers Champions for Change program and the Allies Academy, this is work that I've been steeped in for a while. So I will say that the Equity Challenge hasn't brought me new knowledge. What it's brought me is new context in having these very public conversations about whiteness and engaging with my friends in whiteness in a way that I haven't done before, because a lot of this work has been, you know, reading and thinking and reflecting, but not necessarily so much talking. I have a new perspective on what it means to hold space for whiteness and white fragility and white feelings, and my responsibility in engaging that more proactively.
And Capri, did you discover something about your potential implicit bias? It is not exclusive to the white race.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was continued to learn. For me, it was more so being open to continuous learning. I realized that before I felt like, oh, because I'm a minority, I've been in this area, that there's nothing else you can really tell me about my own identity. But what this challenge helped me to see is that my identity doesn't exempt me from learning. It's about continuing to learn from my identity in different perspective. My perspective growing up in Detroit and my experiences are very different from African-American kids growing up here. I went to a school where the teacher, the principal, everybody looked like me. There wasn't anybody that didn't look like me. So to come to this area and to work with children who don't have that experience, trying to understand what it means. And then also, outside of me being African-American, how can I also be able to advocate for other minority identities to make sure that they also feel like they have equitable access to resources in the area?
And I want to follow up with you, Erin, as well. As you went through the process, did you either learn anything or start to get a different perspective on potential implicit bias that you carry with you?
You know, it is so interesting because this is such an intentional exercise, reflecting on it, intentionally looking at this, going back and looking through some of the exercises. You know, a lot of the work that I do is around the criminal justice system, and I'm also a trained social worker. And one of the things that I constantly am trying to do is to challenge the things that I know and to bring in new perspectives. You know, one of the next steps in the work that we're doing is, there's a big push in the area, you know, around restorative justice. Mm-hmm. And so we want to not just, you know, have those discussions, but also create restorative spaces for people to talk about, you know, what's going on in communities, what's going on in terms of the criminal justice system, but also naturally, very naturally, there's dialogues are going to center around race and personal identity and the way that we came up, the things that have formed us, because those things are going to help to form how we can move forward.
So based on your takeaways, Erin, how are you going to create a better path forward and use this information for the embetterment not only of how you engage the community as a person, but how we as a community engage one another?
You know, as I mentioned, I was really inspired by some of the dialogues that I saw on social media. You know, I'm really looking forward to friending Jessica and going back and taking a look at some of your stuff, you know, because I've been really inspired by that kind of engagement and dialoguing about it. The work of A Brighter Way, we're working to, we've got an anti-stigma campaign going on. We're trying to open up housing and employment opportunities for formerly incarcerated people and people with records, because most people who have records have not been incarcerated. But regardless, they tend to be locked out of the system. And so we're actually ongoing a community capacity building campaign to be able to bring more people into the dialogue. Impacted people, employers, landlords, but especially the general public, because a lot of times people feel like, you know, change is somewhere else. Change will be done by them. But really, change happens when we bring people into the room and get them engaged.
Jessica, you see a better path forward because of the knowledge and understanding that you've gained through this challenge?
Oh, absolutely. And I'd like to take it forward in a couple of ways. One is I'd like to adapt the challenge for our staff and maybe bring that internally as kind of morning huddles or daily conversations. There's so much.
Seems like a really
there.
Valuable team-building exercise.
I think so. Mm-hmm. And again, kind of making time for those in-person conversations where it isn't just about personal reflections. And then the other thing that I'd like to do, we're in the process of building a social justice tour that we're going to be launching this summer, and I'd like to take some of the information that I learned and some of the data sources that were cited in the prompt and be able to apply that to the story that we're telling.
And Capri, how will you externalize what you have internalized?
That's a great question. So I'm very fortunate in my role at Big Brothers Big Sisters, where I work to train up all of our volunteers or potential bigs. Right now, I'm in the process of expanding and revamping our training. So I'm really, really excited to be able to integrate some of this information so that the volunteers that we have, not only are they mentors, but I can try to change that perspective from mentors to allies. How are we actually understanding the area that you're going into? How are you using the research, the data, the information on equity to really be able to understand not only your little but their person and their family and their environment as well? And then outside of your role as a big, what can you do at your office? What can you do in your community, at your churches, to make sure that you are having the same change that you are with the little? I'm also very fortunate at Big Brothers Big Sisters, we do have a diversity and inclusion topic every week, every other week. So I'm looking forward to also integrating and expanding this information, especially since we work so heavily in the county.
You know, it's going to take an entire community to build a bridge to true equity. I am struck with all three of you talking about how much overlap there seems to be in how you are choosing to serve the community. So I will just put this out there and answer as you will. Any chance the three of you might find ways to take those overlapping things and work together toward a more equitable Washtenaw County?
I'm going to say a heck yes, even though I don't know what that looks like.
Yeah, I would say I would love that.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Well, there you go. I think we've got something started here, and I'm really looking forward to see how it all plays out. I'd like to thank you all for the time today. I really appreciate you you helping us wind up the 21-Day Equity Challenge with such open reflections and discussions. It's very important, and I'm grateful.
Thanks for having us, David.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That is Aaron Suganuma, who is Executive Director of Brighter Way. Jessica A.S. Letaw is Executive Director of Building Matters in Ann Arbor. And Capri Irvin is Enrollment Coordinator for Big Brothers Big Sisters. Now, to find out more about each of those individual organizations, to find out more about the Equity Challenge that ends today, and to visit the Washtenaw United Archive, visit our website at WEMU.org. Washtenaw United is produced in partnership with the United Way of Washtenaw County, and it's heard each Monday on 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti. I'm David Fair.